This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, what's happening? TK and Tierney coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage transition. Disaster averted. Wow. Do this, of course, out of the chute. College hoop Zion Williamson, 33 seconds in, going down. Kind of looked like Kenyon Martin years ago in the Conference USA tournament. Similar spot near the foul line as well.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. That was absolutely incredible to see a rubber sole literally rip apart.
Now, you don't see that very often. It actually makes some sense if you think about it, because Zion Williamson is an enormous human being.
Yeah.
At 6'6", 6'7", whatever he is, and 285, maybe 290, eating well in college now. You know, he's put on a few LBs, and you learn how to lift when you get to school, so he's probably gotten a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. There's only so much force that, you know, leather and whatever the shoes are made of can take before eventually they give way. I wonder if they use new shoes every week or every day. You know, what's the dynamic of the shoes, because if he's had those,
sure, they have a nice deal.
I'm sure they do as well, but I just wonder how many you can get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So eventually it blows out. But you're right; the knee injury was what shocks you, because it looked bad. But he got up and he walked off, limped off. I thought just like what R.J. Barrett said after the game. I thought he was going to go in the locker room, chill for a little bit, stretch out, do whatever, get it looked at. There was no significant damage, which you can usually tell right away. Like if there's an ACL, they do that test, you can tell right away. If it's an MCL, there might be some pain, but he'd come back, or at least be on the bench. And when he never showed up, you start to worry. You really start to worry. That's when I started to say, man, did he tear his ACL?
You start to worry, and of course you start to wonder about what's next here for Zion Williamson. Obviously, his parents went back there. That is what we're going to get into out of the shoot here. Of course, you know, everybody's chiming in what he should do. Should he play? We'll get to it. I want to play some sound, though. Let's hear from first up Coach K on Zion Williamson going
down.
It
puts everyone in a state of, you know, trying to figure it out while you're playing an outstanding team. That's not a good situation. And I thought our guys really played hard in the first half. We were knocked back after that injury. You could see it.
Yeah, we don't really care about the result as much as we care about your thoughts on Zion. So you didn't adjust. You got smoked at home.
I mean, look, okay. we know that that was kind of going to happen. They're not dissimilar to a lot of college teams. When you lose your guy, like he's a quarter of their scoring. He scores 22 points a game, right? You lose
energy
that guy.
Too.
Energy, and they even talked about that, how they just sunk. Somebody else has to pick up the slack, whether it's the points, but also the energy. No one did it.
No.
Honestly, that's what shocked me more. When you knew he wasn't going to come back, all right, who's going to be the guy? Who's stepping up and becoming that player for Duke right now? Nobody did, which makes me think that they're vulnerable. I mean, for all season long, I've said this is one of the best teams that we've seen. They played lights out against Virginia when they shot 62%. They shot 20% from three-point range. I'm talking about from three-point range. They shot 62% against Virginia. They shot 20 against North Carolina. So I'm starting to change my mind about this Duke team. Yes, they're young and they're athletic and they're exciting as hell, but it comes to a point where if one thing goes awry, it's the really good teams are resilient enough to figure it out.
Oh, the veteran teams are.
And that's it. It's the catch 22, right? Mm-hmm. You get these young athletic studs, best players in college. I mean, they got a top, you know, maybe one of the best recruiting classes ever in the ACC with these guys. At least three of them were in the top 10 of last year's class, but there's no veterans on the squad to pick up the slack when something goes awry.
What did Roy Williams say? Let's hear from Roy, and then we'll get into the big debate of the day. Here's Carolina's head coach, Roy Williams, on Big Z going down.
Be honest. Everybody be honest. When the big fella goes out of the game, it changes a lot of stuff for them. Zion Williamson, I've never seen anything like him. And That was a huge blow for them. Having that happen during the course of the game, you don't have time to prepare for it. So I hated that part of it because I think he's such a wonderful kid. But that was a huge blow for them at that time. There's no question.
Okay, so now we're left in a space where, you know, we don't know exactly, you know, how injured Zion is. Doesn't seem to be too bad. But again, you know, we'll find out once the swelling goes down. Is he out, you know, 2 weeks? Is he out a week? Is he out 4 or 5 days? Does he play right away? Does he decide to disappear for the rest of the season? I would think that all these things are on the table. And really, there's a couple of different ways when I look at this. Number one, what I would want and how I would counsel and advise my son.
Yeah.
Number one, what I would do if it was me. And then, you know, me being a sports guy, kind of just offering my opinion where it doesn't intimately affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, you know, what I would do personally and what I'm about to say now are the same thing. Play.
Yeah.
Play basketball.
I 100% agree, BT. I get why people are saying he's got to protect himself. He's got to protect his body. He's going to be the number one overall pick next year. He can't risk losing it all because he wants to play a college game and win a championship with his buddies at Duke. But injuries happen, man,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. I listened to a lot of this morning about, oh, he's got to shut it down. He's got to worry about the NBA. He's got to go get paid. He's going to get paid. He's got insurance. Doesn't matter. If he falls out of the top 16, he's got insurance. He's going to make $8 million. Like, he's going to be okay. But injuries are part of sports. You can't be afraid of them. Otherwise, you turn into a completely different type of player. Now, he should get healthy. You know what I mean? Like, he shouldn't rush back. Mm-hmm. He shouldn't try to play next week just to be there for his guys and give him, you know, give one for the Gipper or whatever you want to say. He should get fully healthy and then come back around the ACC tournament, preferably like a game or so before the ACC tournament.
I think he'd be back before then, don't
you think? I think so as well, but whatever. Just be ready for the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament. You don't have to rush back in 2 weeks. But I agree, man. I keep hearing these people say, sit down, rest, protect yourself. No, play basketball, man. Play. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And also, it's what people love about guys who get injured and play through things like that. It makes them, and as long as they're not doing long-term damage to themselves, it makes them like, I don't know, it just there's an extra intangible that comes with a guy who plays through injury.
Yeah, I think so. That's always been appealing to me. You know, the athletes I rooted for as a kid. It's funny, most of them were banged up with injuries, Mattingly's back, Ewing's knees. And I don't know, I've always gravitated toward that sort of athlete that shows that kind of resolve. I think one answer that we will get, and I've not heard anybody say this. This I think is gonna be very interesting. If he's out for say 2 weeks, mm-hmm. let's say he's out for 3 weeks. The one question that we've all asked rhetorically, because it's just a guess, is what is he like when he gets to the next level and gets a little heavier, right? What's he like? What's he like when, you know, the frame and the joints suddenly take on a little bit of a different, they're stretched out, you know, he's bigger, he's thicker.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If he's out for 3 weeks and it's the MC, or roughly, I mean, if it's a couple of days, it's not going to matter.
Well, I mean, the tournament starts, ACC tournament starts in just under 3 weeks.
Yeah, I believe, what is Selection Sunday? St. Paddy's Day? It's right around there. I think it's March 17th, whatever
March
it is.
March 12th.
March 12th.
No, that's the ACC tournament is March 12th.
March 17th, Selection Sunday?
Yeah.
So he's got a couple of weeks to get this right, but what if he's out for 3 weeks and he puts on 8 or 9 points because he can't do anything cardiovascularly?
Yeah. Pounds, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, 8 or 9 pounds. Wouldn't that be a little...
alarming.
A little worrisome?
Yeah.
And that is the one answer that we all want, but none of us can possibly get.
Agreed.
Because it's a guess.
You know what's... So it's funny.
You're going to get some intel here for the draft,
you're
maybe.
Right. But you know what's... I've always... And this is a kind of a new revelation to me as I think about Zion Williamson, mainly because of his height. Like, I can see when he gets into the NBA, him being like this tweener-type player. Like, where does he play?
Mm-hmm.
And what, he's not playing down in the post. You know what I mean? Maybe he is. Because his athleticism, but how long, how many years can he just jump and you know, be a rim protector and a, you know, a scorer in the paint at 6'7", you know, when his athleticism starts to wane or he gets another injury, like, who does he become? I've almost started to think he needs to lose weight. Like he needs to shed some of that muscle and become leaner.
I've always thought that.
All right, become more of a leaner player as opposed to, you know, this behemoth that looks like a football player. I mean, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And in college, those other guys are scared as hell. You know, I mean, they're not even coming anywhere near the paint. Like, I ain't going near that dude, right? But if he wants to be a truly viable, you know, 3 or 4 in the NBA, he's got to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got to lose probably 15 pounds and maybe lean out that muscle as opposed to thicken it. So, yeah, this will tell us a lot, this extended break, which should be a week or maybe two, depending on how severe that knee sprain is, when he comes back.
Yeah, and by the way, where is all the evidence of – football's different. Where's the evidence of basketball players getting hurt in college where – their earning power is greatly compromised? Anybody have any names for me? You know, Bill Walton had a lot of foot issues, but I just think that he was predisposed to that.
Yeah.
I think that's the way his bones grew. I think it was terrible luck for him.
I guess Nerlens Noel, but I think Nerlens Noel from out of Kentucky, his skill set was very limited. In college, like when he came in young, he didn't have that many skills. He could jump out of the gym. He couldn't really shoot. Right, never learned how to shoot in the NBA.
Yep.
Just turned into this, I don't know, kind of.
He'll play for 8 or 9 years. He'll play for 8 or 9 teams.
You're right. He's a bit player, but that had he's not. It's not even close to it. But that's that's the one that had a college injury.
Sam Bowie had a lot of stress fractures. I mean, going back, that's obviously the Jordan draft. There, he had a lot of. But you know, that's somebody who's, you know, Sam was at least 7'1". He was 7'1". I think that's just misfortune right there. Jay Williams. You know, Jay's pro career was wrecked because he got into a motorcycle accident.
Right.
Like, where is the college player that, you know, we saw, God forbid, carted off a court and never made it back?
Yeah. That was thought to be a lottery type pick.
Yeah, I mean, what basketball injuries can you suffer? You can rupture your Achilles, obviously.
That's probably the worst one.
That would be bad. You can shatter a knee, ACL, I mean, fib, tib. There's different breaks. There's, God forbid, the heinous compound fracture that we've seen. But that's just being in the wrong angle at the wrong time, and there's no way to guard against that. So I don't know. I think it's really a reflection of just how soft we're becoming as a society, and how quickly we are to. And how we just want to push everything, you know, just get to the NBA. I mean, I don't know. There's a process. I understand it. You know, if you come from nothing and you have a chance to bank $200 million, who the hell are we to tell you not to, you know? And listen, by the way, as much as I want to see him play, if Zion Williamson came out tonight, or during our show, and there was a social media message from Duke or from his account, and he said, I'm done. And I'd say, you know what? Okay, I respect that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm not going to get on the young man, but, you know, there's such an overreaction to this. It's ridiculous.
I think you're right.
You know?
And the bigger overreaction is one we just ignore. Luke May dominated in his absence.
Yeah.
Luke May scored 30 points and 15 rebounds. He dominated the paint, where obviously it's Zion Williamson's territory. All but two of his shots came inside of the paint, 1 3-pointer and 1 over on the wing. He took advantage of it, man. He took advantage of a team that got passive, a Duke team that got passive and had no idea how to play without their big man. So while we'll talk about Zion for the rest of the day, and I think most people will, you got to give a clap to Luke May.
Because
yesterday we talked about him. We're like, Luke May?
Mm-hmm.
Luke May balled last night.
He's a player.
He really did.
As much as we talked about him, kind of glossed over him, we did say he's going to be in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. No,
for
he's
quite
definitely.
A long time. You know, he's just not... He's not Zion Williamson.
He's not a superstar.
Going into the game, you know? Listen, the tickets for $10,000 a pop in certain spots.
Right.
Imagine, by the way, if you bought one, you just get to see 33 seconds of Zion Williamson. So
yeah, maybe you got to say hello to Obama.
Maybe. Or goodbye as he was leaving. Oh, Obama. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, now, a couple of people. Who else was there? Obama was there.
Todd Gurley was there. Spike Lee was there.
I know Spike was
Ken
there.
Griffey Jr. was there.
Griff was there.
Yeah, it was a bunch.
I mean, it's an interesting setup there. We all wanted to see him play. It was incredibly disheartening just from a sporting, you know, sporting fan point of view. I don't know that there's a whole lot in the middle. We'll get calls on this early. And how do you want to frame it? Do you want to frame it, you know, because our callers could go in so many different directions. Do we want to direct them to answer what they would do if it was them?
Well, I think most of the people would say they would shut it down. But I think the question is, will we respect him more if he doesn't? If he comes back and says, I want to win a championship with these guys. I know I'm only here for a year. Mm-hmm. You guys know I'm here for a year. I want to win an NCAA championship. I think I would respect him more if he did that.
But would you respect him less if he didn't?
No, I'd understand it.
Same here.
Yeah.
It's not a loss of respect. It's gaining even more respect, but it's almost like a win-win.
Yeah.
It's a pragmatic view of a lot of money, but it's also an emotional reaction if he does come back and play to what we want our athletes to be. I mean, listen, it's a lot of loot. We all understand that. So what do you think? 855-212-4227. I know that you know, he doesn't owe Duke anything. He signed his letter of intent, and he's made them a lot of money. He's put them, going into last night, number one in the country. He's, you know, he's delivered. If he wants to shut it down, we're good with that. But I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't. And obviously, Tiki's with me on that. So we'll get some calls, 1-855-212-4227. We got inbounds, out of bounds coming at this hour. I got to tell you, I'm just tired of LeBron James. We're going to get into this at 4 Eastern at the top of the next hour. LeBron James is really becoming, he is an embarrassment to himself. This guy loves himself so much. It's pathetic. LeBron, the quotes, what he said yesterday, we'll play it for you. What, you know, I don't even know if disgrace is the right word, but an embarrassment. You sound like a clown, dude. Get off your soapbox. Stop loving yourself. I mean, I actually think if LeBron James at this point can make love to himself, he would try it. Like, LeBron James, get a grip, dude. I mean, you play with it. It's a team sport.
I understand that.
He annoyed me 2 weeks ago. A couple of years it's been going now, which is full throttle. But enough is enough.
If it sounds bad.
And we'll get to that, too. And Le'Veon Bell, did he tack on 40 pounds? And if so... You know, what are those suitors? What should they do, and how should they react to that possible news? So we'll get the calls on Zion. What would you do? 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn strikes. Well, if that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Thursday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. We got the WGC down in Mexico on, obviously. Mm-hmm. Tiki and I are keeping an eye on this during the commercials, and sometimes during the segment, we'll take a little look over if Tiger's hitting the ball.
Everybody is trying to drive these holes. They have
with irons,
a par four that's 305.
And they're hitting irons.
They're hitting irons.
And they're pin high.
They're pin high.
I mean, oh, boy.
Phil just tried to go over a tree with an iron.
Yeah.
The tree is probably 210 yards out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to go over a tree that's 210 yards away.
He's trying to bring it back a little bit.
Oh, that's crazy.
But he definitely used an iron. He's definitely pin high. Tiger double bogeyed the first hole. But listen, he's not a major, but
he's getting back to even. Billy Horschel, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson currently leading at 4-under right now.
There you go, Teak. What did Boogie Cousins say? Boogie chimed in on this, huh? So Boogie, with an interesting take on college versus the NBA, an interesting perspective. He's had an injury, granted a very debilitating one. Granted, he's already made some money, but his earning power was reduced this year. And here's what Boogie Cousins said pertaining to Zion Williamson. Go ahead, guys.
Well, knowing what I know now, college is boom. College basketball, NCAA is boom. So my advice to him is do what's best for you and your family. And obviously, college is. You can't really, it does nothing for you at this point. You're proving you're the number one pick coming out. You're proving your talent. Get ready for the next level. It's happening. That's my opinion.
Okay. Obviously, I think most NBA players would probably say that.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, especially if you're a star in the NBA, you probably didn't need college. Now, Boogie went to Kentucky, and he was great at Kentucky. Also, another big player like Zion was. But if they could go right to the NBA, of course they would have gone right to the NBA. I mean, basketball, you don't need college, except for the NBA doesn't allow you to go straight to the NBA any longer.
I still think last night, like for the other guys on Duke, that are going to be in the top 10. I think, you know, I know you don't need college basketball. Like, yeah, some guys don't. It depends how you look at it. When you say some guys or most guys don't need college, then I could say, yeah, I'm not so sure I agree with that. I mean,
some of the star, like the elite stars.
Yeah. You know,
like LeBron.
But I still think you benefit from it.
LeBron's
different.
Right?
LeBron's different.
I don't know if Boogie did, if he benefited from it or not. I mean, he learned how to shoot when he got to the league. He didn't learn how to shoot in a year in Kentucky. Right?
I guess.
Because now he's knocking down three-pointers.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, he sits out there a lot.
Yeah, he always had a surly reputation, at least early.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would have been worse if he didn't learn how to play within the framework of a team beyond high school.
Maybe.
Like, you never know. So it's kind of revisionist
history.
Yeah, but
I hear what you're saying. Like, you know, so a guy like Malcolm Brogdon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Malcolm Brogdon, who went to UVA, was there for 4 years, maybe five, I can't remember, but he's there for 4 years. He couldn't have, even though he's a good player, won Rookie of the Year,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't have gone straight from high school.
No, most of the guys couldn't.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just not physically strong
enough.
He's
a good player.
Uh-huh.
He's not a superstar, but he's a good player. He couldn't have made the jump. But guys like Boogie, who are just, I mean, you see it. Like, you know those guys. They're coming out of high school. They're already physically on par with some of the guys that are going to play in the NBA.
Emotionally.
Yes,
that's what I'm talking about.
They might be emotionally and mentally immature,
mm-hmm.
especially at 18 or whatever it may
might be.
18, going to be on the road I mean, look at some of these road trips.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like 10 days, 12 days.
Yeah.
With grown men.
Oh, yeah.
Who are doing what grown men
do. And no rules.
Who are doing what grown men do.
Yeah.
And you just gotta be at the shoot-around the next day.
I know. That's the thing that I think a lot of people that, you know, you think you know the NBA lifestyle. These guys get into a city at, you know, let's say Atlanta, right? And if you play the previous night, or you play that night, you know, say if you play, this is the way, like, you'll play a home game maybe,
mm-hmm.
and say it's a 7:30 local tip, and 8:30, 9:30, game ends at 10, hit the showers, do the media, get on the team bus, go to the charter airport, get on the plane, blah, 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 eat. Whatever city you land in, it's late by the time you actually deplane and get back to the. And now, granted, the Four Seasons is waiting, and there's just a big bowl of keys and meal money, and you grab your key, literally do whatever you want. Tiki's right. If you don't want to do it, if you want to go to the club, if there's an underground club that's open until 9 in the morning, you could go.
You're right.
Make sure you show up and shoot around at some point. So that's why I always think that it's so much more beneficial to just go. You know,
to college.
Yeah, especially if you're with a coach who challenges you mentally and stimulates you and really, you know, focuses on the team element.
I agree.
And again, money's money, right?
It teaches you how to be independent.
College teaches
you how to be independent.
Uh-huh. Even doing your laundry, basic stuff, you know? It's true. Matt's in Long Island. Matt's on Tiki and Tierney. Matt, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing real well. I'm going to come across like a Duke hater, but I have to say that...
Don't worry, I hate Duke, too.
Everything around us has been all about Zion. He's an amazing player, and I'm not trying to knock him while he's down, but I don't know if his body translates to the NBA. You guys made a great point today about the weight he's going to put on.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm not sure if he's got a mid-range game yet. It's just going to be interesting to see. This injury has put Duke into question, has put Zion into question, and I wish the guy well. I hope he does really well, but I don't know if I'm banking my favorite NBA team on grabbing Zion.
Matt, let me ask you a question. But he's going to go number one. But let me ask you this. You talk about this season and how Zion's really been the main story. You know, what else is interesting in college basketball this year? Let's just call it for what it is.
Yeah.
Like, what's incredibly interesting? Like, if you remove Zion Williamson from this season, what's story number two?
Today, I'm a Syracuse guy. Today, it's about Jim Boeheim.
Okay, but that's a tragedy.
No, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, Matt? You know?
To be honest with you, I think it's about... It's probably about the parity beyond – I don't think Duke – we saw last night that, you know, the best thing about college basketball is their kids.
Yeah.
And the reality is that they were shocked last night and they fell into a trance. And,
That's exactly right.
I think
right,
the reality
Matt.
Is that this should be a great tournament. A lot of people were talking the other day about there's only two or three teams that can win this thing. The fact that these guys are boys and even Zion is a beast, but you know what? Things can fall apart really, really quickly, and that's what makes the tournament great.
Yeah, good call, Matt. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Here's the reality of what Matt was talking about. Duke, they were shell-shocked. Obviously, R.J. Barrett is a stud. He also accounts for a quarter of the points for Duke. Cam Reddish stepped up big time. Between the two of them, they had 60 points. The rest of the team, BT, mm-hmm. had 12. Right? Just 12. Mm. They had 9 points off their bench and two of their starters, obviously Zion being one, didn't even register a point. Right? They didn't. So you look at Duke, you're like, okay, if somebody's getting foul trouble or someone gets hurt in the middle of a game or whatever happens. Are you buying Duke as a championship contender?
I told you.
You told me that from the
Zion,
very beginning.
I told you this a month and a half ago. I wasn't buying them.
Yeah.
They're not going to win the championship.
They rely a lot on the three-point ball. That's how they've beaten some of the really good defenses in college basketball so far.
A lot of teams do, though. I mean, what team doesn't have the three-point shot as a really extensive part of their repertoire?
True.
If you can't shoot, you can't win.
True. But when one game you shoot 60% and then another game you shoot 20,
mm-hmm.
that's not... You know, it's not a reliable.
No. But is that an anomaly or is that fluctuation that's been more the like? I don't know that we've seen that radical.
I don't know because I think a lot of teams espouse it, but a lot of those teams aren't consistently good, and you wouldn't have considered.
And
them.
you don't pay attention to the drop offs and the spikes.
You're not factoring them in as championship contenders.
No, maybe something. Maybe
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There, it's true.
But I think Matt's point was right. There is a lot of parity. I mean, who you say is Gonzaga unbeatable? No, I mean
nobody's unbeatable.
Is Tennessee, they got
no.
You know,
they was lost the other night to Vandy. Vandy's winless in the SEC. I think they're 0-13. They won 64-58, whatever it was. It was 56-48. I mean, I'm looking at the AP top 25 right now. Mm-hmm. And to Matt's point about, you know, Zion getting all the run and all the props here. Well, first of all, he deserves it because we haven't seen anybody like Zion Williamson.
He's a freak.
Yeah. I mean, physical freaks, whether it's home runs, whether it's a pitcher throwing 104 miles an hour, mm-hmm. whether it's a quarterback like Mahomes doing things we've never seen, or a freakish running back. Like when Ezekiel Elliott first hit the NFL, we're like, wow, this guy. Now, granted, his old line was great, but we reacted.
But he was that way in college, too.
Exactly.
Though,
so. We react to power, we react to speed, and we certainly react to a combination of power and speed simultaneously. So Zion's going to get the headlines, no doubt, but what other stories interesting? Like, you love Virginia. I cover St. John's.
Obviously.
Okay, great. Awesome. Here we go. What else? I mean, you know, Tennessee was number one a week ago. Right now they're number five, and it looks like they keep plummeting in the wrong direction. Nevada lost last night, by the way.
I agreed.
Right here on CBS
and
Sports Network.
I was going to say, that would be a team that you would look at and say, okay, they're interesting. They had that one loss.
Sure.
They avenged it when they played New Mexico State again and destroyed mm-hmm. them. So, yeah, they'll be okay. Then they lose.
They lost. I mean, Houston's a top 10 team. Their conference stinks. I mean, you know, UConn's down. Tulane's atrocious. I don't even know if Tulane's won a conference game. You know, North Carolina before last night, they were 10-point dogs basically right. going into Cameron Indoor Stadium. You know, I mean, Gonzaga, the big story is more about their coach. Can Mark Few ever win a championship?
Kansas might not win the Big 12.
Kansas has lost players from the start of the season, right. ruled ineligible. So I don't know where these great storylines are. Michigan State, you know, listen, you love Izzo's grid, blah, blah, blah. It lost five times, and it lost to a couple of teams they shouldn't have lost to. Marquette's number 11. I've seen Marquette in person twice. Nice. I mean, they could score. They can't stop you.
Yeah.
I mean, if they lost to the second round, I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, are you buying LSU? What? I don't know. Is Shaq there again? Who the hell knows? So I just don't think there's a great story. So without Zion, I think this is maybe the most boring college. And I love – I'll always look for a positive mm-hmm. in college basketball. This season stinks.
Yeah.
And it's less palatable without him. With him, there's incredible intrigue. But without him?
Yeah. Here's the irony, though, BT. As much as we're talking about Zion,
yep.
he's actually the problem. Because of not him specifically, but what he is. He's a one-and-done player. So teams just, they're never developed.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
That's a big problem.
It is
There's
a huge
no question.
Problem.
Even the defending champion, Villanova Wildcats, they got smoked last night by Georgetown. They were beating St. John's last weekend by 19. They lost. I mean, Villanova's not that good this year.
You're
They're
right.
just not.
You're right.
You know, with all due respect
to
Jay,
I watched
great.
A little bit of that Georgetown game.
I'll tell you, Ewing.
He's doing
Patrick good. Ewing is a good coach.
Agreed.
Patrick Ewing could coach.
But that game was, I'm saying, it wasn't like they just built up and then blew him out. They had him from jump.
Yeah, it's and Georgetown's slowly ascending, but I would think at least a year away from being mm-hmm. truly nationally relevant in terms of maybe being top 25 and dancing firmly. So, I mean, it is what it is. We just lost the star. The question is, do we get him back? And that's what obviously you and I are debating. 1-855-212-4227. More tweets. We'll get inbounds, out of bounds coming up after Jay. Sorry for the delay there, Jay. Jay Berman's update is right now. Here he is. LeBron's ego. Just no boundaries. We'll get to that coming up.
Top of the next hour here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Activation mode. So noble of you to actually play hard. That's kind of what they pay you to do, you know? Activation mode. He's getting so corny. He's so annoying. Inbounds, out of bounds here in a second. Tiki and Tierney. Pat Williams in studio next hour, senior VP of the Magic. Get his thoughts on tanking. Get his thoughts on even Zion Williamson for sure. Mm-hmm. He's had a lot of high draft picks over the years. He had Penny, he had Shaq, obviously. John Smoltz, hour number three, a little baseball. Where's Bryce Harper and others, where they will go? But right now, we go in and we go out. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, we go a little football. Since the Ravens traded Joe Flacco, many have questioned whether the slender-framed Lamar Jackson can withstand an entire season of taking hits, especially with his penchant for running. However, new OC, that's Greg Roman, he spoke to the media yesterday and isn't as concerned about Jackson getting hurt.
I think it's a little overrated, the whole danger thing. And this is empirical data here. Over the years, you kind of realize that when a quarterback decides to run, he's in control. So now, he wants to slide, he can slide. He wants to dive, he can dive. Get out of bounds. You know, a lot of times the situations that there's more danger is when he doesn't see what's coming. My eyes are downfield. I'm standing stationary in the pocket. Somebody's hitting me from the blind side. So my experience, when a quarterback takes the ball and starts to run, there's not a lot of danger involved in that relative to other situations.
Okay, that's a pretty interesting take right there. Curious how we answer this. So Greg Roman's comments that running quarterbacks aren't necessarily in more danger of getting hurt than pocket quarterbacks is in or out.
I'm going to say this is inbounds, BT. You know, we think about the running quarterbacks that we've criticized. It was RG3.
Yep.
It was these guys that have put themselves, I don't want to say purposefully, but they put themselves in danger by not being smart about getting down. Lamar Jackson's not that type of player. There was a study, so my answer to this is inbounds, but I think the truth behind it is you got to look for smart quarterbacks. Right? Carson Wentz is a pocket passer. He's not a running quarterback, but how did he get hurt a couple of years ago? He put himself in danger's way by trying to be a hero and dive into the end zone.
Yep.
Between two converging defenders, and he tore his ACL. So I'm going to say inbounds. The data actually points to the fact that this isn't, it's a bogus narrative.
But what word did you use?
The what? Bogut, the data.
How's that for data?
The data.
It's my coach.
Biz.
I agree with you. I think this one's actually really easy. I think it's really interesting for Greg to take this position. Think about how Tom Brady got hurt. Remember he got hit low?
Mm-hmm.
In the knees, right in the pocket. Carson Palmer in the playoffs years back.
Same
when the
thing.
Bengals may have been chasing a championship.
You're right.
Timo Von Olafen hit him low with the Steelers. Bang, in the pocket. The only thing that I would add, even though I totally agree with you, I'm going to say inbounds, is maybe the concussion aspect, where
yeah, true.
You can protect your body, but you can still take a glancing blow, and you can have your head ricochet off the cold turf.
You're right.
That's one thing, but I think Coach Roman's onto something here. I think it's a smart take, maybe unpopular, but I agree with him, as does Tiki. Good question there. Here you go.
Are you in?
How's that,
or the
data?
Are you out?
All right, Tiki, on Tuesday, we discussed the viral video showing Kyrie Irving apparently saying two max deals, it's time, to KD in the tunnel before the All-Star game. Just organically caught on footage, of course. That wasn't planned. No, not at all. However, Kyrie isn't pleased with the media speculation based on the video.
This is the stuff that just, like, just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league anymore by doing bull like that. It's two people talking, having a conversation. If this was a real world, would it be anybody else's business? But it's a video of somebody assuming what we're talking about, right?
I hear you, but
making an opinion about it. So why would I care about it? What I do with my life is my business. So it's none of yours, it's none of anybody's. It's not anybody's business, right? Everybody wants to hear me talk like this. This makes no sense.
Kyrie getting a little salty the last year or so. Kyrie developing that thick, tough exterior shell.
Or a thin one.
True. Yeah, that's right. That's yeah, it is thin. Yes, yes. In or out, media diving into athletes' personal lives and creating speculation is good for the players long term.
I think this is out of bounds. I think it's good because it creates negativity around them when you start, you know, speculating. You start disliking guys having to respond like this because Kyrie sounds unaware right? You're a superstar. You don't want to be a superstar, go do something else.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
Right?
Really?
Right? People care about...
Go back
about
to Duke for 3 more years, get your degree, and enter the real world.
I agree. Go work at Wall Street. Goldman Sachs, I'm sure, will kindly take you. Right?
Yeah,
right? Here's the thing.
He's probably smart enough to get there, too.
I agree.
It's a sharp kid.
I honestly think they staged that video.
So
do I. It's too perfect.
So do
right?
I.
So don't get mad about it just because we're talking about something that you staged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And even if they didn't stage it, to be fair to them, my answer is inbounds as well. Now, the way it's framed here, media diving into athletes' lives and creating speculation is good for the players in or out. It's good because interest equates to dollars.
I agree.
Conversation, you know, amounts to interest, and then interest amounts to dollars. So, I mean, these guys got to get a grip. This is a real interesting shift in the personalities of some of these superstar players in the NBA.
Right.
It's like they crave it. And then they've got the...
And then when people ask questions
about it...
The stones
to admonish us.
I agree.
For reacting to what we know they so desperately crave. Get a grip, guys. Come on.
Go have a private dinner in a booth and then talk about this stuff. Don't do it in the middle of the All-Star game in a hallway where everybody's watching, including your buddy.
Ridiculous.
With your cell phone.
Yep.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. Georgia basketball having a rough season. 10-16. But last night they were hosting Mississippi State. And it was kind of a new low. So Georgia tied the game. They hit a three-pointer with 10 seconds to go. Mississippi State was fouled. They went to the line for 1-1. Wasn't double bonus yet. The first free throw was missed. But here we go. Stuffed animal hits the court. Uh-oh. Technical foul leading to an automatic tech, obviously. The Georgia fan that threw it. You know, listen, he's there. And I don't know if it was a student. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if it was a student. Not that it really matters, but... Of course, after that happened and the technical foul was hit, Mississippi State hits one of the two, and they win the game by a point, 68-67. After the game, Georgia head coach Tom Crean, perplexed by the call.
I've never been a part of that. I mean, I know what the rule says. I know the rule says that you've got to be able to know who did it. It's pretty hard to know in that situation. I'm 52 years of age, been a head coach for 19 years, been an assistant and other coaches since I was 18, in college since I was 20. I've never seen that. Not without a warning, and certainly without an explanation.
Okay, you'd have to think that an explanation was due. I mean, but I guess he didn't get that either. In or out, home team should be penalized for the actions of the crowd.
Out of bounds. Because you can game the system really easily.
Oh, you can rig it?
Yeah, you can
rig it.
You can have someone toss the thing out of into the court, and all of a sudden you get a technical foul against the home team.
Uh-huh.
You know, find out who did it. Kick the guy out of the arena. Don't let him come back. Ban him for whatever, 3 weeks, a month, a year. Who cares?
Uh-huh.
But you can't take it out on the team because how do you know? He can come in with a Georgia shirt on.
That's true.
And be like, go Dogs!
That's
and in
true.
A critical moment, throw whatever over the court. It's too easy to game that.
I didn't even think about that. That is true. That is a good... Now you're giving people ideas here. Oh, good God.
I know, right?
I'm going to say inbounds, though. There's a reason why head coaches... Bobby Knight did it. I remember Rick Pitino doing this. I remember Jim Calhoun doing this. There's a reason why head coaches grab the microphone and implore the fans to stop whatever they're doing.
Yes.
When that happens, when it gets to a certain point, because there is a penalty. Now, if Tom Crean wasn't the warning, I can't speak to a lack of a warning, but not being issued an explanation is utterly unfair.
I agree.
But I'll say inbounds, and there are loopholes, as Tiki pointed out, but I'm going to say inbounds on this one.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, four seeds is in Michigan. Jim Harbaugh, 38-14, but the off-the-field antics, they've kind of overshadowed some of the on-field success. Climbing trees, sleeping at recruits' homes, and, of course, trips to Europe with the entire team. They've gone to Italy and France the past 2 years, and now they announce they're going to head to South Africa in May.
Nice.
That is nice. All the trips are paid for by a former alum, the CEO of the video game developer Activision Blizzard. That's a big-time one, as we know. And they cost around $800,000 each.
Wow.
In or out. The NCAA should not allow alumni and donors to send teams on these kind of trips.
I think this is inbounds because it just creates a disadvantage for certain other programs if you don't have a extremely moneyed alumni to do it. You kind of know that it's, you know, if I go to Michigan, I'm going to go on these great trips.
Yep.
I guess it's not football related, but it is kind of an extra benefit.
It's absolutely an extra benefit. That this just speaks to the inconsistencies of the NCAA. I mean, maybe they'll get a clue one of these days, but my answer is inbounds as well.
How about a team like, let's say, Illinois, right? They're trying to get their program going. Or Indiana's trying to, you know, jumpstart. Purdue made small strides this year. This is a huge advantage. And, you know, I don't know if they're necessarily vying for the same blue. I mean, you know, Michigan's getting blue chippers and some four or five stars. Not so sure Indiana is. But if it comes down to, you know, in the rare occurrence where it's Indiana or Michigan, and Indiana's not putting these kids on these trips, I don't know if it's going to tilt the needle in favor of Michigan. It could.
If you're a four-year player and you're going to go to four international countries,
right?
That's pretty damn impressive.
LeBron James. That's it. I'm done with LeBron, and I'm going to destroy him next year on Tiki and Tierney.
With this job, having two hands won't cut it, which is why I thank the stars I have a third, Grainger. When my two hands are full, I fully rely on Grainger. They're America's number one source.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.